This afternoon, I want to finish up the book of Nahum. So if you would have your Bibles and would turn with me to the book of Nahum. A prophecy that speaks of the fact that the Lord is there and knows our trials when we're in the midst of them and has a plan. And He will deliver His people. And so turn to Nahum chapter 3. This last chapter deals with God's final condemnation on the city of Nineveh and the nation of Assyria. And let's just read this chapter. Woe to the bloody city! It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of a rattling of the wheels and of the prancing of horses and of the jumping of chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of the witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts, behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms of thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And I shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass, that all that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid waste, who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Art thou better than populace? No, that was situate among the rivers that hid the waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea, and her wall was from the sea. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was infinite, but Put and Lubim were thy helpers. Yet she was carried away, she went into captivity, her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets, and they cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great things. Thou shalt also be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy, and thy strongholds shall be like fig trees, with the first stripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women, and the gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies, and the fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege, fortify thy strongholds, go into clay and tread the mortar, to make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like a cankerworm. Make thyself many as the cankerworm, make thyself many as the locusts. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of the heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and fleeth away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the edges in the hedges in the cold day, but when the sun riseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria, thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. There is no healing of thy bruise, thy wound is grievous. All that hear of the bruit of thee shall clap their hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word and help us to understand. There are those that think they are so clever, so proud, so arrogant. They think they are so strong and they are so wicked. And yet their day of judgment shall come. Lord, show us how that this was the case with the city of Nineveh and the country of Assyria. And so shall it be with those in our day who think they are clever and wicked and so strong. Now, Lord, speak to us through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting as you look at this and you read through the characteristics of this city. The Lord reveals to us what their character is. It's amazing the things that they did and what they did because of the multitude of thy whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. That's exactly the state of the world today. The world is being sown into whoredoms and witchcrafts. They're being denied the power of God. God is reviewed as irrelevant. If we go back and look at this study through Nahum, you remember when we were way back at the beginning and Rabshakeh was mocking Hezekiah and calling out to the people in their own language so that they could understand, saying, "Oh, you're going to believe in the God of Hezekiah? Hezekiah is going to tell you the Lord's going to deliver you? Don't believe in the God of Hezekiah. Our God is so much stronger, will consume and destroy you all." And that's what Nineveh and the country of Assyria had done to the nations. They'd gone in and they said, "The true and the living God does not count. He doesn't exist. And anything you believe in except our gods, our perverse and wicked gods, will not deliver you." And that's exactly what's happening today. You have people that are so proud, so arrogant, and they say, why would Christians think that their God would deliver them? They're really irrelevant. They don't know what they're talking about. And you need to do it our way or it's not done at all. And then you're introduced into, as Nineveh introduced these people, to witchcraft and whoredom. And if you go back all the way to the Tower of Babel, where Nineveh gained their foundation from Nimrod, you see that was what he was leading the whole world into, was witchcraft, the worshiping of the demonic, the celebration of the occultic rituals. And some of those are so vulgar and so vile, you do not even want to know what it's involved with them. And that's where Assyria and Nineveh were at. They were introducing the whole world to this as they go in and conquer, and then they introduce their religious system in the place of whatever the people had believed in. And now we're dealing with the Jewish people who had the truth. And God has had enough. He said, it's going to stop. And it starts out in verse 1 where he says, "Woe." And whenever he says, "Woe," you better listen. Because that means judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. "Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not." And isn't that the key to the world philosophy and what the world belief system is? Full of lies and robbery. What we've seen happen in our culture today is lies and robbery. You turn on the news, you can't get the news because it's all lies. It's really propaganda to try and influence you and to taint your thinking so that you do not understand what the truth is. And at the same time they're doing that, they're trying to steal everything that people have. And we see that there are those that are in power that want to take and steal the wealth of all the people. Nineveh went around to all the nations around them, conquered them, and took all of their wealth, and they took it back to Assyria. They took the silver, the gold, the fine clothing, the jewels. And they took them all back. And they robbed the people of what was rightfully theirs. And that is the way of the world. And God's had enough. He's saying it's going to, judgment's coming. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots, that's not Nineveh's whips and rattles and jumping chariots. That's the Babylonians coming against them. And that they're coming and they can't stop them. And he goes on and he says, the horsemen lifted up both the bright sword and the glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, a great number of carcasses. There is none end of their corpses that stumble upon the corpses. That's a picture of what's happened in Nineveh as the Babylonians came. They thought they were they were never going to be conquered. They were in an insurmountable army that could not be stopped, and yet the Babylonians came, and as they came, they wiped them totally out. We see that this is, when God's judgments come, it's a strong and a sure judgment. Now, if you look at what's going to happen in the last days, the same thing's going to happen. When Jesus returns, the armies of the world are going to be gathered together against Israel, but with one word, he's going to slay them all. And it says in another prophecy that he's calling the vultures and the eagles to come to feast upon the carcasses of those who have come against Israel and his enemies. He is totally going to destroy and slay these people that think they have armies that are undefeatable. And yet God can slay them in a moment. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of thy well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. Now what is he speaking of there? Well, everybody right now is very confused in the world. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people. They're running around going, well, what's true and what's not true? Do we believe what they say about all these viruses, and that these viruses are so terrible that we've got to do whatever they say that we've got to do? And even if it means that we're going to kill our own children, we've got to do it. The Lord is saying here, that's what like Nineveh was. They had totally confused the people. They deceived them into worshiping the demonic and getting involved in the occult. And he's saying, what I'm going to do is show the people, I'm going to reveal to them who you really are. I remember the account of Joanne Mikkelsen when she got saved. She said that she got involved in the occult. She was involved in Eastern mysticism, and she had her spirit guide. And she said that she thought her spirit guide, she'd name him Jesus so she'd be safe. Only problem was, Jesus doesn't come as a spirit guide. But this spirit was coming to her, and he was a beautiful spirit, and he'd appear to her, and he'd tell her what to do. And at the same time, she had people that were praying that she'd get saved and out of this and out from underneath its control. Well, one day, she called in this spirit guide, and it's like the Lord pulled back the covers so she could see. And it was a demon. It was a horrible demon. It was a wicked demon. It was an ugly demon. And it terrified her. And she saw that this wasn't Jesus. This was a demon. That's exactly what God is doing here. He's pulling back the covers so that the people can see the nakedness and the wickedness of Nineveh and the gods that she says she serves, that they need to follow. And they're when they see this, no one's going to have sympathy on her, because they're going to understand what Nineveh has been doing to them and what her intent was, to destroy and consume them. And so he's saying, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. A gazing stock is something that one looks upon with amazement, and you go, I can't believe it. Really? I can't believe that. And that's what the Lord's going to do to Nineveh. This mighty and powerful city, the city that took Jonah days to walk across when he preached his message, and they repented for a short period of time of their wickedness. And he said, this city that was so powerful, this people that were so vile and ruthless and awful, they're going to be a gazing stock of the people as the people walk by and say, I can't believe that. And he goes on and he says, and it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste, and who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? They're going to not only flee from Nineveh, they're not going to want anything to do with her, and they're sure not going to bemoan or bewail or seek to go and comfort her at her time of loss and destruction, because they will realize that judgment is just and justice has come and God has judged. I want you to know that as wicked as the world is, and there's Christians that are being persecuted throughout it today, and persecution can come to our country as well. But I want you to know that there's coming a day where the Lord's going to pull back the curtain. He's going to reveal everything that has been going on, and His judgment's going to come, and there's going to be no one there to comfort or bemoan those that have fallen into this trap or those that have caused it to come upon them, that have united with Satan to bring this wickedness upon the world, just as it happened to Nineveh. Art thou better than than populace? No, that was situate among the rivers that was laid and the rivers round about it. Now what is he speaking of, art thou better than populace? Well, he gives an example of the city in Egypt that was the sacred city of Egypt and the most powerful. Thebes was the city in Egypt. It appeared to be an unconquerable city as well. It had a fresh water supply, so it could withstand a siege. It was protected by the sea on one side, and it was a powerful, powerful city. But God said, you think that you were like Thebes, or like Populus. You're going to be destroyed just as they were destroyed. And it says that they had rivers and they had waters round about it, whose rampart was the sea and her wall was from the sea. So it looked like there was no way that you could attack Thebes, which was located in Egypt. And then not only that, she had Ethiopia and Egypt as her protectors. And at that time, Egypt was a strong nation. And so Ethiopia, which was another stronger nation today, Egypt and Ethiopia are both weak nations. But at this time in history, they were both extremely strong, and they were the protectors of the city of Thebes. And it says here that Ethiopia were her strength, and it was infinite. In other words, it was unlimited power that they had. Put and Lubim were thy helpers. And these are two other groups of people that were there to help this city of Thebes. Yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children were also dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men. And all her great men were bound in chains. And just as that happened, Nineveh said, well, never happened to us. You know, there's a lot of people that look at what's happened, like what happened to the Roman Empire, what happened to the Greek Empire, what happened to the Medo-Persian Empire, what happened to the Babylonian Empire. The U.S. looks and says, you know, we've been in existence for all these years, and we've been in existence for 250 years. Nothing's going to happen like to us like happened to them. You know, the exact same thing is happening to us that happened to them. If you look at those countries, they weren't conquered from without. They were conquered from within by their own sin and wickedness that caused them to explode from within and be defeated and by their enemies without, because they were defeating themselves within. You look at what's happening in the U.S. today, what our biggest problem is not that we don't have a powerful military. We do. It's not that we don't have great technology. We do. It's not that we don't have lots of wealth. We do. But the problem is we've got a corrupt and wicked and vile leadership that is seeking to destroy us from within by doing everything that God hates and making that the law of the land. and coming against marriage, coming against that which is holy and sacred, coming against God's people, coming against anything that the Lord loves. And I want to tell you, just as these other nations have fallen, the United States will fall too unless they repent and change. Nineveh thought she was safe because she was so strong, but she wasn't. She would fall just as Thebes had fallen. She was carried away and she went into captivity. Then verse 11, thou also shalt be drunken, thou shalt be hid, thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. Well, what are they, where are they going to seek strength in? Alcohol. Isn't that a good, that's a good way to defend yourself. Go out and get drunk and maybe my problems will go away. Well, lest we think that that is too far-fetched, what are we doing in America? We're filling our everything with drugs and alcohol. Today, you've got marijuana legalized for recreational use in a number of states, for medical use in even more states. And I want to tell you, from working in the workplace, you legalize marijuana for medical use, people just run out and get a medical use card so they can smoke marijuana, not because they need it for medical purposes. And I was talking to a man who's involved with drug enforcement in Grand Forks, and he said, yes, marijuana is the gateway drug to all other drugs. It opens you up to, you want something more, you want something stronger, you want something that'll give you a greater high. And you're seeing that all of this is happening. At the same time, you've got the wicked, vile people that are running the world situation. They're causing our borders to be flooded. They're causing opiates to come into our borders. The opiate problem is the greatest it's been in the United States, and I don't know how long. And at the same time, alcohol is a huge problem. Are we any different than they were in Nineveh? Let's go bury our pain. We hear the Babylonians are coming. We're hearing their chariots and their horses and their swords. Let's go get drunk. Maybe that'll solve the problem. Didn't quite do it for them, as we see that the Lord says that they thought it would. But he says, verse 12, all thy strongholds shall be like fig trees. Now, what is he saying here? And it's with a striped fig on it. What does he mean? Well, if you're in the Middle East, one of the ways that they gather figs is they shake the tree. And all the figs fall off. Well, these guys have built all these, they thought their defenses were so tremendous, but God says, no, they're just like a fig tree. The enemy will come, he'll shake it and rattle it, and it'll all fall, and he'll be there with his mouth open, eating it. In other words, they're going to come and they're going to shake you, and you're going to fall right into their hands. You're going to fall right where they want you. You will be defeated. You will be destroyed, and there's nothing you will do about it. Then he goes on and he says, behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. In other words, where are the men? Where are the fighting men? They're gone. And he says, they're the women. The gates of the land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The gates, remember I talked to you a couple weeks ago that, and many of these cities had walls around them, and the walls were, a lot of times were just about impregnable, but they all had gates, because you had to be able to get in and out of the city. And if you could breach the gate, didn't matter how thick the walls were. Well, the Lord's saying, hey, your gates are going to be wide open, so what good is it going to be for you to have walls? Because the enemy's just going to flood in upon you, and you will be consumed and destroyed. What shall be left wide open unto thine enemies, the fire shall devour thy bars. Draw thee waters for the siege, okay? And he's telling him, okay, so you've got plans, okay? This is your defense. You're going to draw water because you're going to fear that there's going to be a siege. And you're going to fortify the strongholds, and you're going to go gather clay, because that's what bricks were made out of, was the clay. And you're going to tread the mortar to make it strong. You're going to make strong mortar, strong bricks. You're going to gather water so that you can withstand. There shall be fire to devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat up like the cankerworm. Make thyself many as a cankerworm. Make thyself many as locusts. He's saying, it doesn't matter what your plans are. God's going to consume and destroy you. So it doesn't matter what these guys' plans are. We've been listening, my brother and I have been listening to a number of sermons by Billy Crone on AI and how that all these really brilliant guys in the world and billionaires and stuff, a lot of them are into AI. And they're developing artificial intelligence. And they want to have more and more artificial intelligence. And their goal is to get rid of people. It really is, to depopulate the earth and have robots do what people used to do, because you don't have to pay robots overtime. You don't have to have robots go on strike. You don't have to have robots can work long extended hours without wearing down. And so they're planning on artificial intelligence, a world of robots, and they will be the kings. The only problem is there's some of them are seeing where it's going. And they're seeing that the robots one day could take over for the people. And there's been actually movies about that, where robots have taken over and started killing all the people. And the thing is, they call it that there's going to be a day in singularity, yes. They call it the day of singularity. The Bible talks about it as being the day of judgment or the Lord's day or the coming day of the Lord. And the thing is, that day is coming. But the thing is, they can't prevent it with all their artificial intelligence they want to do. The only thing they're doing is doing what Satan wants them to do, and that is kill what is dear and precious to God, and that is mankind, and especially Christians and Jews. But we see here that they're trying to make all these preparations. They think they've got it under control. They're going to fortify their walls. They're going to get water. But it's going to be just like they're consumed by the cankerworms and the locusts. And if you've, those of you who have ever studied what cankerworms and locusts do, when they attack an area, there's nothing left. The locusts come in and it's just, all the green stuff is gone. Everything is gone. During the Great Depression in the United States, there were great locust swarms, especially in the Colorado and Western Plains area. And they would just come in and wipe out whole crops in a matter of hours. People went crazy because of the locusts. And they say, that's what's going to happen to these people. Nothing's going to be left. Thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of the heaven. The canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. He's saying, you think you're so clever, you've got all this wealth, all your merchants. That's exactly what they're doing. Man's plans under Satan's direction never change. God's ability to destroy and judge what man attempts to prevent God from doing has never changed either. And you see here that it says they've got all of these great things that they've developed, all these merchants, and they feel that they're controlling the trade of the world. Well, it's going to be consumed, just as it says, a canker worm spoileth and fleeth away. Thou crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains as the great grasshoppers, which camp in the hedges in the cold day, but when the sun ariseth, they flee away, and their place is not known where they are. And so he's saying, you've got all these men that are your leaders, right? They're the ones that say, listen to us and follow us, and you must do what we say. If you don't do what we say, you will suffer the consequences. Well, he says, they're like the grasshoppers. And he said, what do the grasshoppers do? When it's cold at night, if you go outside, you don't see a lot of grasshoppers flying around if it's cold at night. He says, they hide in the hedges. They go to try and get warm. But when the sun comes out, they get up and whoosh, they're gone. They're not there anymore. He says, that's what these guys are. They're hiding, but all of a sudden the heat of the battle will come and all your leaders are going to be gone. You're going to look at, where are they? Where are they? What are they going to... No, because God's judgment's coming and they're trying to flee, but they never will be able to. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. And to dwell in the dust means that they're going to die. Their nobles are doomed. Their shepherds, they're sleeping. They're not giving advice. Their political leaders, their religious leaders, they're not good for nothing. And they're all going to sleep in the dust. They need to be looking to the Lord. And then he goes and he says, thy people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. Guess what? Israel was scattered by the Lord, but the Lord gathered her back again. Assyria was scattered by the Lord. She's not coming back. She's scattered upon the mountains, and no one's going to gather her again. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of it of thee shall clap their hands over thee. In other words, it's going to be joy and rejoicing when people hear that Assyria has been destroyed. And no one's going to be happy and excited. No one's going to be sad, rather, and cry that they were. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? In other words, who hasn't been touched by your wickedness? And now I want you to understand there's a whole series and sequence of things that all go back to Nimrod, and prior to that, all the way back to Satan in the Garden of Eden, that are battles like this between man trying to usurp God's authority and position and take over his position as being ruler of the world and also the conqueror and taking into control what he wants to apart from God's will. And God always has judged. Sometimes the judgments come slower than other times, but as Syria here, Nahum's telling them, the Israelites, remember he's telling them, don't worry, don't listen to Rabshakeh, don't listen to Sennacherib, don't listen to these people. God's judgment's coming, and God's judgment's sure. Theirs is words, his is real. And so the thing is, we do not have to fear the world, but rather, as we saw this morning, we need to fear the Lord and teach our children and encourage one another to walk in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and not in the fear of men. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Thank you for this lesson through Nahum. And Lord, help us to look to you and to trust in you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 500.